Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you would. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord Jesus, oh, how wonderful you are, Lord, to us. Lord, how you look down upon us, Lord, and guide us by thy word, by thy presence. Lord, and when we gather together, Lord, you're always here, Lord, walking amongst us, Lord. Look into our hearts, my prayer, Father, tonight. Feed and strengthen us, Lord, by thy word, by thy revelation. Lord, it's such a late hour we live in, and you're soon appearing. So, Lord, have your way in our lives in this service. Bless the few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord, that, Father, clear our hearts and our minds, that you may have a clear channel to speak to us tonight. We ask this in your precious, holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I like to sing in our capstone books. If you'd like to turn with me to 59, start there. I'm going that way. I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful light. A beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright. For all who believe the Savior so near forever shall stay. And having been saved by grace divine, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day.
I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never to stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way.
Hallelujah. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Page 78, same book, sir. I'm camping in Canaan's land.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged the land of heartache for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauties grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across the desert sand. I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow weary. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, I've reached the land of promise with the scenes of glory. My journey ended in a place so lovely and so grand. I've been led by Jesus to this blessed land of story. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Amen. Oh, saints, what a day that's going to be.
Yes.
What we have to look forward to. Page 40, same book there. Press along, glad soul. Amen. Run like you've never run before, saints.
Oh, ransom souls with joyous song, press along to glory land. Amazing grace that saves the wretched, press along,
amen,
to glory land. Oh, press along. Giving out the message grand, oh, letting love, God's love, be your song. Oh, press along to glory. Oh, press along, light soul, press along, giving out a message grand. Oh, letting love, God's love, be your song. Oh, press along to glory land, to join once more those gone before. Press along to glory land, with saints to sing before the King. Oh, press along to glory land. Oh, press along, blessed soul, press along, giving out the message grand. Oh, letting love, God's love, be your song. Press along to glory land. The crown to wear forever there. Press along to glory land, to sing his praise through countless days. Oh, press along.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, press along. Glad soul, press along. Giving out a message grand. Oh, letting love, God's love, be your song. Press along to glory land.
Amen. Oh, press like you never pressed before, saints. The hour is far spent. No time to let up now. Amen. Brother Hamilton, you like to come up. Precious Lord.
Thank you.
That's the blessing of you,
Lord. Lord, you will be done here.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Give you all praise and glory for the blessings of the blessing you think.
Amen. I am determined. I've made up my mind.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I'll follow wherever He I'll pasture wherever He feeds us. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. How many have something on your heart? Need a request for Him? Amen. Brother Pitts, would you take the request tonight?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening because we are a needy people.
Yes, we are.
And Brother Branham said we don't serve you for nothing.
Right.
So we ask you this evening, Lord, if you would see the uplifted hands,
yes,
and those things that are on the people's heart,
Lord,
that they need help with, Lord, and they come to you. So we ask you for your grace and mercy, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? Speak, come.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. but in my heart, Lord, there's still a hunger for more of you. I'm just not satisfied. The deep in me is a calling. Telling me there are higher heights to climb, and we are constantly climbing up the ladder by faith, rung by rung, step by step, every day, each word becoming all so real, not living by how we think or feel. Climbing up the ladder by faith. Oh, your senses tell you many things, but you can't trust your feelings or your natural eyes. There's only one thing you can trust. And faith in that word has a long-range vision. It doesn't look around you at the present time. It'll keep you moving.
It'll hold you steady
till you reach the goal at the end of the line.
Stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus, only believes, ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just ask you to help us truly to be a people, Lord, that can believe all that you have spoken unto us. And Lord, to accept it, Lord, in a manner as Mary said, let it be unto me according to the word of the Lord. And Father, may we truly yield ourselves to you in a greater fashion. And Father, as we've come this evening asking you, Lord, to bless these few words you've laid upon my heart. Father, just praying it'll stir us and keep our minds in tune, Lord, with the word. Father, that we might grow or keep climbing and pressing on, Lord, and just growing in you. And Father, we commit ourselves unto you for service, Lord, and just ask your blessings upon your word now. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll read a scripture out of the book of Matthew. Amen. Just take a little exhortation tonight. You know, it's a topic that you could preach hours on, and there's so much things, but just a couple little nuggets that the Lord was dealing with my heart on today, and I thought, well, I'll just share a little bit and pray it'll bless someone and strengthen us. Yes. And I believe it will go along with what our pastor was bringing Sunday, and we'll, maybe as he may continue if he feels led, but realizing we're growing, amen, and maturing in Christ, hallelujah. Amen. But here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and let's just start there at the 24th verse of the book of Matthew. Amen. Matthew 13:24. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May the Lord bless reading his word. You may be seated. Very familiar scripture, and one that we've probably read often, but how we truly are starting to see the manifestation of that scripture come to pass. As we see as Brother Branham typed it, as two churches, two vines, two spirits, we see it coming to its maturity and seeing the fruits that are bear forth from that result. And you know, as we go back to Genesis and you think about when God began to create, and we can just read it. It's just better to read it than me try to put it into jumbled words. But if you want to turn to Genesis 1, about the 10th verse there in the first chapter, and God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven and to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, that our likeness after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And you think about this, you know, we read this often, we've heard it quoted, and it becomes, but when you really stop to think of what God done right here at the very beginning, yes, to declare that what he said
would come to pass.
Yes,
and it would be exactly the way he set it for it to set forth. Yes, and we look today and we see a sheep and we know it's a sheep. We don't have to wonder. We see a goat, we know it's a goat. Amen. We watch a cow grow, we know it's a cow, a horse. Amen. Everything God's put in order is perfect.
Yes.
And it's exactly the way God said it would be. Every tree, you get that little bitty seed in the spring, you go and buy seeds from the store and just looks in your hands like seeds, cast them up on the ground and watch them bring forth life after their kind. Each one in due season, let's put the water and the sun up on it, place it in the soil and watch it reproduce itself.
Yeah.
God's word will bring forth exactly what he said it would do. And each one of those things, we see it come to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think about this and just the ripening stage of everything, and as we have just come through the harvest and seeing stuff that's been picked, and how it's just striking to my heart to realize how close we're standing at the great harvest that's fixing to take place. And to realize the ripening that's happened to come to that little bride. And how the fruit is truly in the top of the tree. You know, sometimes if you're not really a tree person or a husbandman or whatever they would call that of a garden, you might see a lot of trees bear forth green leaves. And you may not really know. Sometimes pear trees and apple trees look an awful lot alike until they begin to bear fruit.
Yes.
And then it starts to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's kind of as what I was feeling pressing up on my heart as we see the age in which we're living. Now is the time of life. Our pastor was speaking on Sunday. And seeing that life come into that body. And realizing that what we're bearing forth every day from our very beings are showing forth what's represented down inside of us.
Yes,
and it's only God's amazing grace if we truly see that there's been a desire and a pull in our hearts and a drawing that's drawn us to this word, to such a place that we have such a desire to be so yielded to what God wants that we see him reproducing himself through the seed that he placed in us before there was ever a moon or a star.
Yes.
That he himself said he would reproduce and he would water and he would give the increase that it would come and come to a state of maturity.
Yes.
And you know, it's just, it's something to see God sent a prophet in this age and realizing that that has come and it's laying here before us in such a great scope. And Brother Branham made this comment in the message, Christ is revealed in his own word. And this is about paragraph 89, and it'll kind of go with the scripture we just read. He says, so when you watch nature, and we see where every age directly designed it out that we're in the last age. And the shuck is pulled away. And you know how he talked about as we came up through the stages, it was growing. And we had come into the age of maturity. And the shuck was pulling away from the wheat. He talked about it in many different places. You'll just kind of have to put that together because to take time to go back into all that would be pretty extensive. The shuck is pulled away. And we've had 15 years, 20 years now. And the message sweeping across the nation to nation. And this morning hooked up across the nation. And see no organization it can't organize. There has never been anything like it or will be hereafter. The thing that's the matter with the message today is those who obtain it in their hearts must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened.
Yeah.
See, you can't pick up the message and then you can pick up the message and then let the Son bake the greenness out of you, see, making matured Christians. See what I mean? God is coming soon to receive his church. And we must have that type of Christians for him to receive. And the wheat has to get ripe.
Yes.
And these three must be. And I think of the walks of life that many of us have come through and the things God has allowed us to experience. As you don't fully understand sometimes why you're going through things and why circumstances happen in life and why did I have to go through this over here and why did I stumble in through this and why did I have to experience that? But God knew what it would take to bring a people to that place, individuals that would have such a love in their heart for him that these next three words would mean so much. As he says, the three must be, you must not misinterpret or mishandle, misinterpret it, dislocate it. It must be kept just exactly the way God said it was.
Amen.
To the world, it's a book of mystery. To people that believe it, it's just a mysterious book. The people believe, to the world, it's a book of mystery. And the people believe it's just a mysterious book. And one time I was talking to a very famous man here in the city that holds great standing of Christianity. And he said, I tried to read the book of Revelations one night and said, John must have had a big bait of hot pepper and had a nightmare. See, a book of mystery. But while to the true believer, it's the revelation of God being revealed in the age we're living in. And he said, my words are spirit and life. And Jesus said that again. The word is a seed that a sower sowed. And we know that's true. It's God in word form and can only be interpreted by himself. And the human mind is not capable to interpret the mind of God. Amen. And how can a little finite mind interpret the infinite mind when we can't even interpret one another's mind? And you notice he is the only one that can interpret it, and he interprets it to whom he will. And it didn't say mortals of old as they strode across the earth in sundry times and divers manners. But God in sundry times and divers manners revealed himself to his prophets. See? Yes. And notice to whom he revealed it. He so designed that he could hide himself in the scripture to the smartest theologian there is. Oh my, he can just hide himself. Set right there in the scripture. And you look all day long and never see it. Look a lifetime and never see it. He can just hide himself sitting there. Now please, everywhere, let that soak in. That God in the Word can hide himself so in the Word that there isn't a theologian or a school in the world could ever find him. Yet he's sitting right there. And you say, is that right, Brother Branham? How about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? How about in every age he done it? Sure, he's done it so in every age. And we could check that. Let's think about the days of Noah. A smart intellectual age, and how he hid himself in the promised words. In the days of Moses, he hid himself. In the days of Elijah, how he hid himself. In the days of Jesus, how he hid himself. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Yes. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Mm-hmm. He hides himself from the smartest intellectual man there is on the earth. And you say, well, this is Dr. Holy Father so-and-so. I don't care who he is. God hides himself from him and will reveal it to babes such as we'll learn. See? Mm-hmm. Babies of God, predestinated seed. Think. The mighty God setting in his own words, blinding the smart and educated people of this present age, and they don't see it. They think it's just a bunch of fanaticism. Look at him standing there hiding to the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and reveal himself right out publicly, showing all kinds of things, even putting it in the papers and things like that, yet they don't see it. Oh, how our God, how great, revealing himself to whomever he will. And you say, Brother Jones or Brother so-and-so, he's a great man. He'll see it. Oh, no. He reveals it and to whom he will. Say, my wife don't see it. She's a Christian woman. He reveals himself to whom he will. Well, my pastor's a great man. That's right. But he reveals himself to whom he will. Yes. Now check with what's been revealed to what's happening. And then you can quite understand. Mm-hmm. And how we see this taking place all around us. And it's only God's grace if the realization that God sent a prophet and who was speaking through that prophet, and the realization that what that prophet was saying had to come to pass. Mm-hmm. A manifestation. We saw the mighty signs and wonders take place to catch our attention. We saw God vindicate him and make it so forth. But then as God began to speak forth his word to us, how many cannot see the realization of a life changed, a life lived. You know, and it's pretty evident to put a cow in a pig pen. It's pretty easy to pick out that cow because we know the nature of a cow. We know what the nature of a pig is. We know what they look like. And it's pretty easy to look out there and say, wow, that don't belong. Yes. And how it's come right down in amongst our ranks. It's easy to look and take inventory with God's precious word and say, wow, that doesn't match what the scripture said. Their desires don't match what the scripture said their desire would be. And as you begin to watch and to look at how we must examine our own selves, each one of us, and truly examine this word and to see if, do I look like this word or do I look like a cow that's sitting in a pig pen? And it truly begins to stand out to each one of us as an individual. And that's where we're at. This maturity is taking place. The word has come. We've heard the word. We've received the word. But are we becoming the word? Is it taking us over? Do I see it truly taking myself from the inside out? A life I can't live myself. things I couldn't overcome. My personality may have been one way. I might have been raised this way over here, but God's word taking me and molding me to the character of his image and being conformed to this precious word. Oh, what a great time we're living. And you know, one of the things that kind of, not to take too much time, I got a lot of quotes and things, but we'll I was listening to Brother Veld speak a little bit about Brother Branham taking him to breakfast when the church age book was finished. And it struck me as he was talking about how great of a pressure was on Brother Branham that people get exactly what was written and what was placed in the church age book, and how he had a great desire on his heart for to get the seal book kind of reworked and put out, and I don't know in what manner. But that never happened. The Lord took him off the scene. But when you were, I got to thinking about that, and I got to reading a little bit, and I want to share with you something Brother Branham said here in the Resume of the Ages, and this is on page 375, and something that, as I started thinking about this and looking, you know, Brother Branham never really started talking about laying in the presence of the sun and ripening till around 1964. Towards the end of the, if you go back and start searching for it, you'll see it. And he didn't mention it a whole lot before that. And he talked about the grain ripening and things, but of laying in the presence of the sun and the presence of that word. And you see that. And Brother Branham, he says this on page 375, and he was just talking about the church ages. And he says, this is down about halfway the page. He says, "And so we come to the last age, the Laodicean age, and this is our age, and we know it's the last age, for the Jews are back in Palestine. No matter how they got there, they are there. And this is the harvest time, but before there can be a harvest, there has to be a ripening, a maturing of both the vines. The Lutheran age was the springtime, and the Wesleyan age was the summer of growth, and the Laodicean age is the harvest time of the gathering of the tares for binding and burning and the garnering of the wheat for the Lord. Harvest time. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though, there is a real acceleration in the ripening? There is a consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth." Just listen to what he's saying and just think about it with what we see taking place all around us today. He says, "Till there is no growth." Is that not exactly what we're seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to communist and various other types of belief. Her numbers are not as increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. In so many cases, going to church is just a show. Mm-hmm. And I want you to think about it, not only amongst the believers, but if you look at the denominations, they have seen a decrease in people attending service. Pastors are out there going rampant, starting to realize that people have just been coming to a building. And you can see it in their own preaching. There are different ones within the denominations that are young and coming up and seeing that the fire, the zeal for church is not there. They just want to come attend a building. They see the same thing. And the same thing we're seeing, but it's the age. It's that lukewarmness, as our pastor was talking about. It's seeped in amongst us all. The coldness has settled in, and it's just fallen away, the whole thing. And he says, her numbers are not increasing. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine, what about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answer altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach? Look what we're seeing more and more. All the tent meetings that's taking place, everything, not saying that God won't deal with an individual somewhere amongst that. But it's becoming an emotional. That's all it is just going through the motions, hyping people up. And if you don't get excited, as a brother sent me a little video clip last week, the brother was preaching really hard and going after it and getting up and trying to get this brother right in his brother's face, and the brother wasn't responding, and he just smacked him, just pushed him, knocked him right back in the bench. That's not God. But they want to go, they think they're getting back into that spiritual realm, but they're missing what God sent a prophet to declare. But there was a predestinated people all over this earth, individuals here and individuals there. It was predestinated to come to the maturity that was preached and brought to light by that precious prophet. that God spoke to a people, showing them what his life was and what he was looking for and what would be.
Amen.
And he says, what about her? Is she growing? He said, most of them are merely emotional in their approach or desires or something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual. Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, but yet God tarried in judgment 7 days? No one was literally turned to God in those silent days, and yet it is the harvest time. Then there must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and tares to maturity, and the tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature, and to her God is sending the prophet messenger with the vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect.
Amen.
And they will hear him as the first church heard Paul, and she will mature in the word until becoming a word bride, that mighty works will be found in her.
Yes,
that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. Amen.
Amen.
And I pray that's what we're looking for. Don't get our eyes caught up on what's going on around us. And you know, so many, it's become a pattern. Well, if that church does it, I can do that. And as you'll remember, not too many services ago, our pastor was preaching us, warning us, don't pattern yourself after something else. Don't pattern yourself after somebody else's life or some other church's denomination or creed. But look where we've come from. We've been tried to be patterned, tried to be this, tried to make holiness, you know, and how Brother Branham hit that so great in trying to make the out appearance holiness, as he talked about the holiness people, just trying to no jewelry and wear long dresses and don't cut your hair and trying to make an outward appearance, but the inside wasn't getting there.
Amen.
And that doesn't do away with holiness, and that doesn't do away with modest dress, and that doesn't do away with any of that. God's seed down on the inside, just as Brother Branham said, you don't have to ask a sheep to bear wool.
Amen.
It automatically is going to bear that wool every time.
Amen.
And that's the same way the seed of Word of God hid down in our hearts, that little gene that was placed in there. When the water of the Word hits it, it can't help itself but to bear forth fruit that shows forth that there is a genuine seed down on the inside,
yeah,
growing and going to come to a maturity of this precious Word.
Mm-hmm.
And how we see it taking place greater and greater every day. And we see more and more, but how it ought to be, it shouldn't distress us or discourage us to see all that's happening. And you know, it's got so bad, the message churches don't know what it means to be worldly. Because they're so worldly, they can't see the difference. And they don't know what that means, and they've become desensitized. Think about the things our pastors have been bringing to our attention by the Holy Spirit. And let those things coincide with what the prophet showed us and was bringing. And if you'll open up your heart and say, Lord, just make this gel together in my heart. What a great picture there is.
Yes.
But you know, sometimes we get so full of just, well, I've heard that preached and I know exactly where that quote's at. And I know exactly where that scripture's at. And we won't yield to the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, enlighten my understanding.
Yes.
Give me eye salve, Lord, that I just don't know what the word said or what the page it was on. But Lord, that it would take my life fully in consideration,
yes,
Lord, under
amen.
Your anointing. And let God do the increase.
Mm-hmm.
On page 379, as he got on over here, he said, but what about the true seed? It will happen just as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger to this age. In her will be the fullness of the Pentecost. The fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That is, thus saith the Lord. And so how we should be watching our own lives and looking for this maturity, not getting our eyes caught where, yes, we're still coming to service. We're at church all the time. But this maturity has got to be taking place. We see the coldness. We see everything. Israel, we see what's happening in the world. We see the chaos. All the filth. Is it back to Sodom and Gomorrah again? Worse. I don't even know how bad it was then, but it had to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
And when you see the condition we're in, this world is in today, knowing that the hand of God is just holding off for one thing till that bride reaches that stage of maturity that he's looking for.
Yeah.
And oh my, may we truly find it as we sang that little song, press along.
Yeah.
May that be burning in our hearts greater. Lord, I'm pressing.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, Lord, what you would have for me. And you know, it's so good to just dig into God's precious word and just let it scrub us.
Yes.
Let it read it and refresh our hearts. And And let it be. This was in God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham speaking, and I just grabbed a few of these to highlight some of what he was saying about ripening and that happening. And this was November 28, 65, paragraph 40. He says, "I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened, and our faith isn't ripe intellectually. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there. But oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. And sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh and have to break it in like that because you've got to clench a nail to make it hold. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated. And then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like a people was there the people was there when it takes its rapture." Mm-hmm. And how we see that, we're laying in that where we don't want no ideas. I'm not interested in someone's theology. I'm not interested in what they have come up with in their mind of how things might ought to be or should be. But I want to look into God's precious word and to be able to lay my anchor fast that this is right here is what he said. Yes. And I'm going to hold to that, and I'm going to let my life be mellowed to that, and I'm going to cry out, "Lord, make that desire greater." Just as even in the church age book, as Brother Branham was expressing, the church ages, they lost their first love. They lost that desire, that passion to know his will. And he laid all of that out to show us what had happened and where they went wrong. And it's in there. And we see it happening today in people's lives, the same thing. But there's a people also that's going to be that true bride, the true vine that will truly, as we live in him, we will bear forth life. Amen. And showing forth. And this was also in God's only provided place of worship. This was paragraph 285 in the same message. He says, "Now, church, we're teaching now. But remember, when you leave here and start moving out of the shuck, you're going into the grain. But lay in the presence of the Son. Don't add to what I've said. Don't take away what I've said. Because I speak the truth as far as I know it. And as the Father has given to me, don't add to it. Just say what I said. And the thing of it is, just tell people to come seek the Lord Jesus. Yes. And then you yourselves lay right in his presence and just make love to him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Son of God, I love you. Tender my heart, Lord, and take away all filth and the love of the world and let me live holy in this present world before you." Yes. And I want you to notice both times when he was talking about laying in that presence, he said tenderly. Mm-hmm. Let me lay there tenderly, Lord. Open my heart, tenderize me. Don't let me get crusty. Don't let me get hardened over. Oh, I've heard this before. I know this. But let us be tenderized by the Holy Spirit that, Lord, I would be a hunger in our hearts, a passion to know his word and his will, and to see him truly get the full preeminence of our lives, that every day our actions truly would declare to this nation, to this people, Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. Oh, how it ought to just pray these things will stir your hearts a little bit. Amen. Yes. Let me see here. Amen. Yeah, this is in the message. The Anointed Ones at the End Time. And about paragraph 70, just to catch what he was. Well, we'll go ahead and catch the whole thing. He says in the paragraph 69, "And the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. But by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous." Amen. I hope you see that. Yes. See where we're living. See the hour. And I want you to stop and think. And I don't say this to build up our pastor in no way. So don't take it that way. But I want you to look at the moving of the Holy Spirit, because I believe when I come in here asking God to speak to my heart each and every time. Now, Brother Steve just happens to be the pastor of this little flock. Now, God knows my heart and he knows your heart. And I've placed this as my little place to come and together. A prophet told us we should have a home church and we should be settled and come in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and give God an opportunity to speak to our hearts. So each time we come in those doors, each one of us is coming, not asking for our pastor to give us revelation, but we come through that door crying, Lord, what do I have need of? Yes. And Lord, what can I need? And God said he gave gifts unto the church, so our pastor falls in that category, and the Holy Spirit knows what my heart's cry has been all week. He knows what your heart's cry has been all week. We come in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the pastor may get up with a message that he thinks he's going to preach, but as he gets here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that message can turn totally to something different. Because God is looking out for you. And as we come underneath that, the Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. And I'll tell you, I want you to notice that by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit has truly, not just in the last few months, but ever since we've been here, the Holy Spirit has pressed that little scripture. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And I want you to think about the many times that in the few years that we've been here, how many times have we heard that scripture quoted and maybe seen a sermon come and that be part of it? Why? Because that's God trying to show us, without revelation, without an understanding from him, without him dipping it in your heart, we are never going to get anywhere. We'll just continue on as a group of people that come to church. And it don't matter how good our pastor is, and it don't matter how good our little building is, and it don't matter how good our song service is. But if we don't come in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit with that cry in our hearts and be open ourselves up, and then as that word begins to come, letting God, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, dip that into your heart and to make it revealed to you, it'll never come to pass. But he predestinated a people. By God's grace, I'm one of them. By God's grace, I pray you're one of them. That underneath the anointing of that Holy Spirit, God's word does the work that he said it would do when it comes forth in God's provided channel every time. And you know, God takes his man, but he never takes his spirit. And you know, I pray that our precious brother gets to be here when we all go in the rapture. But if God should have to take our precious brother before that time, the Holy Spirit will still do the same work through whoever God would have us fall under at that point, if you're truly following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I say that because I want you to realize God's word is inspired. It's the Holy Spirit anointing his own word to you and my heart to bring the increase that's needed. And God chose man to speak it, but God is doing the work in our hearts. And oh my, may we truly yield ourselves unto him. And as Brother Branham said, sometimes that word comes harsh. Sometimes it comes pretty stiff. Sometimes it feels like it's right down your alley and you feel like you're being stared right down when the word's coming. That's God trying to bring a point to you. But lay open before him and don't blame the mailman. Don't get upset with the deliverer. But look at what God has said and watch. If you open up your heart to it and relay it back in that son, let him tenderize your heart. You watch it bring forth the yield of to that fruit. Amen. It'll come forth a hundredfold. Amen. It will do the work that's needed. Didn't mean to get off on that, but somehow it fits. Amen. God is so good, saints. It's not that we have to sit here and wonder, what did God mean? God sent a prophet that truly, in simplicity, took the scriptures and set forth God's precious word. And you say, well, is it that simple? No, it took Jesus Christ to reveal himself. So when he placed inside of you that little gene and by faith he drawed you to him, and at the time and place that you come to that spot of recognition and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and word begin revealed more and more to you, you watch it just bring that body. It can't help itself. It will come subject to God's precious word if the seed is laying down on the inside. And if it doesn't come subject, something's wrong. Either the seed hasn't been germatized yet, or it's not laying there. And how we must truly be cautious and ever mindful. If I don't see my life conforming to this word, it's time to be serious. It's time to take consideration and crying out to Jesus Christ, Lord, I must match that right there. Because the rapture is fixing to take place. Amen.
Let me see here. Where was I at? He says, and I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian scholar, a gentleman. He said, Mr. Branham, we refuse all revelations. And I said, then you have to refuse Jesus Christ, for he is the revelation of God. God revealed in human flesh.
And unless you see it, you're lost. And Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He is the revelation of God, the Spirit of God revealed in human form. If you can't believe that, you're lost. You put Him a third person, a second person, or any other person besides God, you're lost. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, a revelation. No wonder they couldn't see Him. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all the Father has given me in the roots will come to me. See? You get it? Oh, how we should love Him, adore Him, and praise Him to see the fruits of the Spirit in the last days and the bride tree ripening in the top of the time. The true vine and the false vine both had the same anointing. The water fell on both of them. No wonder He warned us it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Notice they look the same. They're anointed the same. But notice, by their fruit, how do you know it? How do you know it isn't an orange? Because it's bearing a grapefruit. That vine is all right. It's living in the tree, but it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't like the first one. And if a church says they believe Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny His power, deny His works, deny His word, and if the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works, and the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ,
yes,
it'll have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it isn't, no matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestinated from the roots, it'll bear grapefruit every time or something different. But if it's predestinated life in the roots, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's the word coming up through the root, which He is, the root, the beginning of time. Notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. And what is the fruit? The word for the season. Fruit for the season. That's what it is. They're teaching. The teaching what? The teaching of the season. What time it is. Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, but God's word for the season. Amen. Amen. And by God's grace, we see God's word for the season.
Amen.
And you sisters can come to the instruments. I'll stop there. But how we, I just pray that it'll encourage you as our pastor, as I was thinking, you know, if you remember, Sunday morning, he read the first half of that parable of the sower going forth to sow seeds. And just how it just keeps growing. And when you meditate upon God's precious word and just keep it, let it build in your heart till the next opportunity we have to come in together.
Yes.
You watch what God can do with His precious word.
Amen.
But if you don't care, if you come to church on Sunday morning, I heard what He said, I wonder, yeah, it's fine, it's gone, it's history, we don't have it no more, we don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time you come, you probably won't get a whole lot. But if each time we come in, if we would truly prayerfully consider before God, Lord, you know my needs.
Yes,
and you know, Lord, what I need in my life.
Oh,
you know whether I'm cold. You know whether I'm hot. You know where I fall today, Lord. Give me the peace that I need to take me to higher ground.
Amen.
And oh, may it truly burn in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
There's so much more, but that's enough for this evening. But I just pray that something was said to strengthen you. And may God encourage us to press on. Amen. Let's stand if you would, so you don't have to get so tired. But I wonder if we could just sing a little bit of that higher ground. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying I'm onward bound, my head, my feet on higher ground. Amen. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. On higher ground, amen. I want to scale the utmost.
Most High and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I. On higher ground.
Hallelujah. May that burning desire be in our hearts. You know, there are just a few here this evening, but I enjoyed the message. I really did. A lot of good, beautiful nuggets in it. There were so many things you could comment about and dwell on. And I was thinking again about, you know, how, you know, so many places is try to dwell on trying to make people holy, try to make them wear this and make them wear that, you know, and just, you know, that ain't going to work. We've seen that. But the real root of it is have the inside prepared and have God do that work on the inside, and that'll take care of getting the holiness on the outside. You know, so many, and it's the same way in the natural and physical. You know, so many times you take special women, they want to put this cream on, that cream on, try to keep them looking old and wrinkles, you know, and all that. And you see a lot of people immaturely age. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen it, and I've seen it in my life also. You know, you see people you went to school with, maybe. And I'm telling you, there's many of them that they'd pass for 80 years old easy. And, you know, but look what they put in their bodies all the time. Alcohol, cigarettes, sodas, just constantly destroying the body. And that's the way, as I'm saying, you know, with spiritual, you get the inside right, and God will take care of the holiness. And if we eat right, and it comes from the inside, you know, it starts on the inside. You can't put all the creams on and fix things. It's what you put on the inside. And, you know, it's so, so true and spiritual. Do we read? Do we study the Word? Do we cry out to God? As Brother Timothy has mentioned, you know, before we come to service, do we really ask God and cry out to God for revelation? Or do we just have a thought in our mind, I'm going to go have some fellowship. I'm going to go see people. I'm going to go fulfill the thing. I'm going to church. Is that all we've got in our hearts? Well, there's a little song I want you to think about. And I want you to really think about it. Draw me near. And think about all the words that's in that little song. And just sing it for yourself. We can sit here and sing it tonight. But just pull it out and sing it. Read the words of it. Draw me near. Consecrate me now. Let me be to thy service, Lord. Every one of us, is that our desire? Is that what burning and really true? Because that's what it's going to take, friends, to get us through this harvest time where Jesus Christ is going to come and take us home. Oh, it's getting close. If you don't feel it, you better cry out till you do feel it. If you don't see it, you better cry out till you do see it. It's getting closer and closer. Be ready. For you know not what day or the hour. No. He'll come as a thief in the night. There'll be two in the field, as we read Sunday. He'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in bed. He'll take one and then leave one. Oh, be ready, saints. Be ready. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the word of exhortation tonight. And Lord, how it stirs us on the inside. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I could be here tonight. And I'm sure each one feels that way. Lord, it was a true blessing. And may we take these words that was spoken to us tonight, and may we each one search our own hearts as individuals, Lord, to make sure everything is coming out just exactly like you said. And Father, everything would be in our life and moving and being manifested and fulfilled to what you promised us, our little bride. Help us now, Lord, and as we leave this little place, may we take these things with us, and may we meditate upon it and pray and seek you with all our heart. For Lord, you told us we'd seek and search for you with all our heart. We'd find you, Lord, and you would meet the needs in our life. So we ask that you would bless us now and help us to be that kind of people for God. Just go with us again, keep us safe upon the highways, Lord, and Lord, we're just looking forward to the next service, if you should tarry, that you would speak to us through the word. And Lord, again, draw us closer to you. We ask it all to your glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May God richly bless you all. You're dismissed.